بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما رسائل الدرر الشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. We're doing a 14-day series. It's going to be after Taraweeh, inshallah. And it's called Spiritual Warfare, The Daily Battle with Shaitan. And we're going to understand the whispers of Shaitan and how he tries to put you off track. Because we're on a journey, right? This Ramadan, we're on a journey to Allah. And after Ramadan, we want to continue that journey. On our journey, we've been told we have an enemy. And it's our responsibility to know the enemy, to understand how the enemy works. This is an obligation upon us. The Quran declares him an enemy. Now, in the early days, when there were hardly any Muslims, about 30 or 40 Muslims only, in Makkatul Mukarramah, and Islam hadn't become too public. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he goes to the mountain, he climbs on top of the mountain, and he starts screaming, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha. That's like saying, help, help, or warning, warning. And he started calling out the different tribes. And the people all gathered. So imagine this. I want you to imagine as we're going along. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the top of the mountain. Everybody has gathered. Whoever couldn't attend, if someone couldn't attend, they sent somebody from their family to attend. So everybody has gathered at the bottom of this mountain. I want you to imagine this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on top of the mountain. He can see on the other side of the mountain, the other people can't. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked everybody a question. And the question he asked everybody is, O people, if I tell you that on the other side of this mountain, there is an army, an enemy coming to attack you, would you believe me? What did the people say? The people said, we have never heard you say a word of lie. You've always spoken the truth. If you tell us there's an army on the other side, we definitely believe you. And this was the response of the people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is exactly what we are being told. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, although you can't see him, although you can't sense him, he's telling you that there is an enemy, and that is Shaitan. And this series, imagine this series to be exactly that. Those who know about it, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are aware, they know, they can see, we can't see, and they have told us in regards to the devil and in regards to the shaitan. So when we read about shaitan in the Quran, when you hear about shaitan during this series, inshaAllah, the idea is to wake us up, inshaAllah, and know that he is someone that hates your existence. Everybody knows that when you're born, a baby cries. Did you know why does a newborn baby cry when it's born? Maybe science can't answer you. But our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered this question. He says, at the time when every child is born, shaitan pinches you. And this is why a baby cries. Doesn't matter what science tells you. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that when a baby is born, you've seen the baby cry. That cry is because they get pinched by the shaitan. And the shaitan says that my and your enmity has started from today. So shaitan hates your existence. He despises you. He's your greatest enemy. And at the same time, we are literally, this is a battle. We've called this spiritual warfare. This is literally a battle. You know when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there's an army on the other side, literally shaitan has his own army. And this is a daily battle that we are fighting every single day. The amazing thing is, Allah has provided you and me tools, weapons to fight the shaitan in this battle. It's about us to know the tricks of the enemy and which tools to use when. And that's what we're going to be doing, inshallah. Understanding the plans and the plots and the schemes and his tricks, we're going to break them down one by one. And I'll be providing you, inshallah, with tools. Like today, you're going to learn, before you leave today, you're going to learn at the end of today, right at the end of the session, I'm going to share with you 7 ways in which shaitan tries to stop you from doing any good deed, And I'm going to provide you with 7 tools of how to overcome him. Because if he doesn't succeed in one, he's going to try the other one. And then try the other one. Then try the other one. So you and I need, this info is something we need. You cannot survive being a good Muslim without knowing how to overpower the shaitan. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to become a good person and carry on doing good without having the tools and the know-how of how to fight your enemy. So this knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. We have to learn this. If we don't learn this, because this is taken from the Quran, Quran tells us he's your enemy. Fattakh inna shaytana lakum aduun, fattakhidhuhu aduwa. It's a command of Allah. Shaytan is your enemy, make him your enemy. Now, how do you make him your enemy? You have to understand his tricks, his plots, his whispers, and how to overcome them. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Look at this. I will show you how this is a battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he's aware of the strategy of shaitan. And the strategy of shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us that he said to shaitan, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرِجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. The Quran says that Allah said to the shaitan, mislead who you want from the people with your, mislead them with your voice. So one of the ways he misleads people is with his voice. Some have said this is referring to music. If it's referring to music or not, the important thing is voice, meaning it'll be anything that deters you from the remembrance of Allah. Anything that turns you away from Allah. So one thing he uses is his voice. وَرِجِلِكَ and وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ. Use your horses against them and your soldiers. So shaitan, he has horses. He has soldiers. He has armies. He's not alone. He's not one person. He's got armies. So this is literally, we are in a battle every single day. And we can't run away from it. This enemy of yours is stuck with you from the time you are born till the time you leave the world. You can't escape him. You have to overpower him. Otherwise, he's going to overpower you. Now, fortunately, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, he's locked away. So we can freely discuss this. He's probably burning and rotting away there. He probably hates me, right? Because I share the same name of the person who, because of whom he was thrown out of Jannah, right? And he hates all of us now, even more, because we're learning his tricks and how to protect ourselves from him. May Allah give us a tawfiq. So, knowing the mechanism of what to do, and that empowers you as a human being. Your ibadah is different. Your life is different. You are able to walk around much more confidently. And you're able to pray much more dedicated, knowing that the devil is not disturbing your worship. I'll give you an example. When everybody knows, where did he start from? Iblis. Allah created Adam alayhi salam. And then Allah told the angels to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. And Iblis didn't. And I don't need to go in that story because we all know that story. And when he didn't bow down. What happens? When he didn't bow down at that time, and how did he end up there anyway? Because he's a jinn. He wasn't an angel. He became the highest of all jinn. So much so that Allah allowed him to be in the heavens amongst the rest of the angels. But he was a jinn. He was never an angel. So this is Iblis we're talking about. So Iblis is in the heavens, and he refuses to bow down to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Now when he refused, what did he say? Why should I bow down to him? Why should I bow down to him? So the hatred started from there. The enmity started from there. He thought himself better. This is the downfall of Iblis, started from arrogance and from jealousy, which are very dangerous. They say the first sin to be committed in the heavens was jealousy. The first sin to be committed on the earth was jealousy as well. Very destructive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, jealousy destroys your good deeds just like fire eats away at wood. You light something and it just crackles and eats it away. In the same way, if jealousy creeps into our hearts, then it's going to eat away our good deeds. Now, he refused. And when he refused, he got told, فَحْبِتْ مِنْهَا. This was Allah's command. Get out of here. You're doomed. Get out of here. You can't stay in Jannah anymore. Now, trick number one of shaitan, I'm sharing with you. This is from his playbook, right? We're going to look through shaitan's playbook. I'm going to tell you trick after trick and how to overcome it. Trick number one of shaitan, learn this. If you can note it down, note it down. Trick number one of shaitan is when you try to do a good deed, he tells you, you've been sinning so much. Why are you doing this good deed? You've done so much wrong already. You miss Fajr, why are you praying Dhuhr? You miss Dhuhr, why are you praying Asr? Why are you reading Quran? You were looking at haram earlier. You online, you were looking at haram stuff before. You were listening to music. Why are you giving charity now? Trick number one, and guess what, guys? Shaitan himself doesn't fall for this trick himself. When Shaitan committed that crime, when Shaitan was, he didn't bow down. That was grave sin. When Allah tells you to do something and you don't do it, right? And Allah told him, get out of here. He himself, you know what he did? What's the first thing he did? He tells you, when you want to do a good deed, he tells you, how can you do a good deed? You're such a bad person. Was he evil? Was he corrupt? He just committed a major crime. The biggest criminal. You know what the first thing he did? The first thing he did, he made dua. He made dua. The thing he tells you not to do, he did himself. The first thing he did, he made dua to Allah. Because he knew who Allah was. He chose not to believe. He knew who Allah was. So he made dua. The first thing he did was made dua. And he said, oh Allah, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. The thing he tells you not to do, he did. He said, oh Allah, and this is in the Quran. Oh Allah, you're telling me to get out of Jannah, fine. Give me life until the day of judgment. And guess what? Allah said, I've given it to you. Don't let shaitan ever fool you, telling you, how are your duas going to be accepted? Are you worse than shaitan? No. Alhamdulillah, no matter how much we sin, none of us are going to be as bad as shaitan. If Allah accepts and listens to the dua of shaitan, after he's committed such a major crime, the next time he tells you this, just tell him, get lost. You didn't follow your own advice. You made dua. So I'm going to make dua. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give charity. I'm going to do whatever good deed I want to do without you deterring me from it. So this is the first trick that we learn. And he made this dua. Now, another problem with shaitan, he was told like, okay, he's out of Jannah. And now he stood in front of Allah. And he said, oh Allah, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Because you deceived me. The biggest problem of shaitan after committing this wrong was not taking responsibility, playing the blame game. Sadly, a lot of us do that in our life. With things that are going on in our lives, it's so easy to blame your parents. Oh, my parents, you know what, parents, they didn't teach me this kind of stuff. My parents didn't tell me about this. Or they didn't sort this out for us. Or my dad was like this. My mum was like. It's so easy to shift the blame on somebody else. Or my teachers were like this. Or the community's like this. Or the people are like this. This is what shaitan did. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِ. He didn't take responsibility. At the end of the day, you're responsible for your actions. What your parents did, didn't do, they've done. They've finished. They tried their best in their own ways. If they didn't, that's fine. It's done. Now you are responsible. The Quran is saying, shaitan said, because Allah, you deceived me and you made me go astray, I'm going to sit in the path of this man. You made me bow down to him, and because of him and because of you, I'm going to sit in his way. And Imam Razi says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَقَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He says, I'm going to sit in his path. Imam Razi says, sitting down here means I'm not moving. I'm going to be persistent. You know when you get a call from the call center? Back in India somewhere, right? Right? Have you seen them? They're persistent, aren't they? You can swear at them. You can do all sorts, but hi, sir. Right? They're going to carry on. No, sir. They just carry on. They're persistent. They've got this mission. So Imam Razi says, shaitan has a mission. He's going to sit in that path. He's not budging. I'm not going to go anywhere until he makes you fail. That's his plan. And we have to know. And another thing, he says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I'm going to sit on Sirat al-Mustaqim. It tells us, shaitan knows Sirat al-Mustaqim. Shaitan knows the straight path. He knows. Imagine how long he's been playing this game. From the time of Adam alayhi salam until now. Every trick on the book. Imagine how many people he's deceived. So he's very intelligent. He's got a lot of knowledge. He knows all the tricks. But we need to be 10 steps ahead. Each time, we need to be 10 steps ahead. So, one, he doesn't take responsibility. Number two, he said, I'm going to come to this human being from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left. Why? Why is he going to do this? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Oh Allah, I bet you, he's saying this when he's been dispelled, he's been expelled from Jannah, and he stands like this, right? And this is why many ulama say we shouldn't stand like this, with your hands on your sides. Because this is how Iblis stood facing Allah when he got thrown out of Jannah. He stood like this. Some ulama said this is going to be istirahatu ahlin nar. It's going to be how the people of Jahannam will take rest, like this. It's a sign of arrogance and pride. So we shouldn't stand with our hands on our hips like this, both of them. Because this is when he was thrown out of Jannah, he stood like this. And he said, oh Allah, because you took me out, watch what I do to them. I'm going to go in front of them, behind them, on their right, on their left. And most of them you will not find to be grateful. This is what he wants. He wants us to become ungrateful for Allah's blessings. So you're already learning so many ways to overpower him. He wants you, and he's made a promise. He wants to prove that most people are going to be ungrateful. Now we have to prove him wrong. We have to make sure that he doesn't get one over us. Each time we get an opportunity and you do shukr and you're grateful to Allah, that's a big blow to shaitan. He hates it. Because he said, I'm going to do all of this. Why? To make people ungrateful to Allah for his blessings. Now shatana, shaitan comes from the word shatana. Shatana means to push away. When you push something away, that's what it means, shatana. And that's from there we get shaitan. Because he was pushed out of Jannah, this is why we call him shaitan. And what's interesting, and might be a little bit scary as well to know this, that shaitan doesn't only come in the form of jinn. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, one day I was in Masjid Nabawi. We were sitting there, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there. I came and sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hadn't prayed, and we sat there for a long time. Tala fihi al-julus, he says. For a long time, we were just sitting there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Abu Dharr, have you prayed? I said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I haven't prayed. I've not prayed yet. He said, go and get up, go and pray two rakat. So Abu Dharr said, radiyallahu anhu, I went and I performed two rakat salah. And after I came back from performing two rakat salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, did you ask Allah's protection from the shaitan of the jinn and the human? From shaitanul insi wal jinn. Did you ask Allah's protection? When you prayed your two rakat salah, did you make dua that Allah protects you from the shaitanul ins wal jinn? The human shaitan and the jinn shaitan. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, is there a human shaitan as well? We know about the jinn shaitan. Is there a human shaitan as well? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hum sharrun min shayateenil jinn. They are more evil than the jinn shaitan. So you get human shaitans as well. Many a times you can probably think about a dark past that you may have had. And you can probably think, you know what? I wasn't that bad. Had I not met that person who was a pure shaitan, every time I did something corrupt or wrong, it was that shaitan's idea. Now, I'm not telling you this so you go around judging people, because that's not right to do. That's not right to do. But you can understand that shaitan sometimes uses people. The reason I'm sharing this information with you is, don't let shaitan use you. Sometimes, you're about to say something, do something. Just think, am I being used by the shaitan? Am I being used by the shaitan? Because you can be a shaitanul ins, a human Satan. And a human shaitan is worse and more evil. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas minal jinnati wan nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the Quran. Now, shaitan's not alone. He has family, he has children, he has armies, multitude. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءُ. Allah says, are you considering shaitan and his children as your friends and your allies? One scholar said, let it not be that in public you swear at shaitan and privately you're his best mate. Right? We shouldn't be amongst those people. Publicly, we're cussing shaitan, we're swearing at him, we're having a go at him. And then In private, we're texting each other, right? We're being best mates with shaitan, and we're getting along really well. So this shouldn't be happening. Now, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he gives an example. And we're going to base our discussion on, I've got Imam Ghazali's book here, Ihya ul-Ulum. We won't be going through all of it. Just bits and pieces I've put together, inshallah. So Imam Ghazali, he gives a really good example. He says, if there's a snake that slithered through your sleeve and it's gone into your clothing, right? You're not going to ask, oh, what color was the snake? If a snake has actually gone inside, you're not going to engage in asking and finding out what color the snake is. What's your mission going to be? To save yourself, to protect yourself, to get it out. Somebody went to Imam Shaabi, rahmatullah alayh, and asked him a question. Like many people come to the Imam and some people ask very weird questions. Not you guys, don't worry, I'm not targeting anybody. You guys ask good questions. If somebody went to Imam Shaabi and said, what was the name of Shaitan's wife? Imam Shaabi says, I wasn't invited to the wedding, I don't know. Sometimes you have to answer like this as well. He says, I wasn't invited to the wedding, I don't know. Is that even a question to ask? Why is that relevant? Imam Ghazali says, the snake's gone inside you. Why are you asking what color is it? What does it look like? It's inside you already. You should be now concerned about how to protect yourself. We've been told that shaitan flows in your veins, just like blood flows in your veins. This is the power Allah has given him. Inna shaitan yajri fil insan majra dam. This is a hadith. Shaitan flows in your body, just like blood flows in your body. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, every person, we are told that every single human being has an angel and you all have a shaitan with you. Every single person. Wherever we go, you have your personal angel with you. And the angel inspires you to do good. He gives you good ideas. And he, you know, whispers to you good things. And every single person has a shaitan and a devil that tells you evil things to us. Like I told you, shaitan flows just like blood flows. Now tell me, in your body, where does the blood pass through? Heart. All the blood goes to the heart. So the crux of all of this is, to help everything, we're going to have to learn how to protect the heart. That's going to be the game plan. If you can protect the heart, you protect the blood that goes there. And thus you're protected from shaitan. And this is why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is going to teach us now how the shaitan attacks us. We're going to be very practical now. How the shaitan attacks us. Shaitan has two main tools. Note this as we're going along. Two main tools. Number one, arrows. Right? Arrows. And number two, nets. Net. You know, like you get a fishing net? So shaitan, two main ways how he attacks you and me. One is through arrows and the other is through nets. What are the arrows? The arrows are thoughts. Waswas. Waswasa. Thoughts. Ideas. These are the arrows. And we're going to speak about each one in detail, inshallah, as we go along. And the nets are his plots, his deception, schemes. So these are two separate ways shaitan attacks you, each and every one of us. Now, you can't quit fighting the shaitan because he's so close to you. He's literally with you. He's flowing inside you day and night. There's no quitting. There's no quitting. And this is why somebody went to Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi and asked, does shaitan ever sleep? And Hassan Basri said, if he did, then we'd have a break. But there's no break. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't rest. Constantly. 24/7, 365 days, his only mission is to take you to hellfire. No matter where you are, what you're doing, he's working round the clock. And we're like oblivious. We've not even thought of it. Now remember, this talk isn't to make us feel that helpless, thinking, oh no, he's out there and he's doing all that. No. It's to empower us. So we're aware of it and we know what to do, inshallah. As you go along, you will feel empowered as we go along. Now, when Shaitan said he sits in your path, I'm going to share with you a beautiful hadith from Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan. And you just get an idea of how Shaitan works. So, it says that when, first of all, Shaitan will prevent a person from accepting Islam. Alhamdulillah, we're already on Islam. But that's the first thing he does. Prevents a person from accepting Islam. He says things like, you're going to be isolated. What about the religion of your forefathers? What about what you were worshipping before? People are going to be displeased with you. How can you accept that religion? It's new. You don't know anything about it. What happens now? There's an internal struggle. If you succeed, if a person succeeds, then Shaitan attacks you on migration. Now, migration, we know, in our context, in previous context, you know about the migration that happened between Makkah and Medina. But migration meaning, if somebody's accepted Islam, and not just Islam, let's say somebody who's come to the deen. A lot of us were not on the deen. We weren't practicing the deen. Ramadan comes, we want to change. We want to become better. Now you're going to have to migrate, aren't you? You're going to have to give up some friends. You might have to give up some family members. You're going to have to give up company. You're going to have to give up places that you used to go to and things that you used to do. Now when it's time to migrate, again, Shaitan attacks you here. How can you leave them behind? They've been your best buddies. They've been with you all this time. What they're going to say to you? They're going to look down upon you. And this is a battle that continues to happen. And if you succeed over here, then Shaitan comes to you when it's the next part now. If you've succeeded in being a good Muslim or accepting Islam, then it's migration. Migration meaning moving from your bad company to good company. Once you've succeeded there, the next area is now going to be jihad. Now, jihad could be any form. It doesn't mean going to fight necessarily. In our way, jihad means the daily struggle that we have, isn't it? To pray 5 times a day, it's a jihad, right? To pray now and again, it's easy. But to pray every single day on time, it's a jihad because our circumstances keep changing. We don't have the same day every single day. Sometimes we're not feeling well. Sometimes it's cold outside. Sometimes your kids might be ill. Sometimes you've got a wedding to attend. Sometimes you're having the time of your life on an exotic island. You don't want to get up and pray. There's going to be different circumstances. So that is a jihad in itself because you have to struggle against your desire. So when you go through that, he's going to try and prevent you there. So this just gives us an idea of how he's there on every path. He's on every single path, whether you know or you don't know. He's on every single path. Now, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, 2 hadith I'm going to share with you in regards to how Shaitan, Iblis, so there's a difference here. Iblis is the big daddy, the big Shaitan. You know the big Shaitan that didn't bow down to Adam alayhi salam? He asked Allah to give him life until the day of judgment. So he's going to live until the day of judgment. And he's got loads of children, loads of followers, loads of soldiers. So he, the big one, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says, every morning Iblis sends his army out. He dispatches the army in different directions to misguide Muslims. To misguide Muslims. And when they return, if anybody manages to misguide a Muslim, he takes a crown and he places the crown on the head of this small shaitan, saying that you have excelled. But by the way, every sajda makes him scream. That's one thing he can't tolerate at all. So enjoy your sujood. You know in Taraweeh when it gets a bit long, right? One of the best things about Taraweeh, right? From like, not a religious perspective, but you know, like when you're praying and it's long and you go in sajda, at least you can rest a little bit, can't you? But the imams don't do, they do the qiyam real long, but the sajda is really quick. Maybe we'll have to have a word with them. Like do the sajda a bit long so we can rest a little bit. But not only that, not only are you getting a rest, but I want you to enjoy your sujood. Because whilst you're in sujood, Shaitan screams the loudest. Because that's exactly what he didn't do. One prostration. He says, I was doomed because of one prostration. This guy won't stop prostrating. That's what happens in Taraweeh, isn't it? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He hates it. He hates it. So he'll tell you, go and have some water, go and have a drink, go and do this, go and do that. But the sujood is very powerful against the shaitan. Another hadith mentions that shaitan, the Iblis, takes a report at the end of the day. And he sends the army, when they come back, he asks them, oh, what did you guys do? So one of the shaitan comes and he says, I made a couple divorce. So Iblis says, big deal, they'll remarry, they'll get married again, that's nothing. And then he goes to the next one, and another one says that I made somebody disobey their parents. So Iblis says, tomorrow he'll start obeying his parents. So that's not a big deal as well. And then another one says, I made somebody drink alcohol. Iblis gets excited. Good job. This is good. Because any kind of addiction to substances and substance abuse, what's going to happen is that's going to wreak havoc in a family, in the community, in oneself. And it's a long-lasting thing. It doesn't go overnight. It takes a long time. And it's very destructive. So he gets excited on this. Then another shaitan comes and he says, what did you do today? I made somebody commit zina. He says, congratulations to you as well. You did a good job as well. And the fifth one says, I made somebody commit murder. Iblis stands up and he hugs him. He says, you're the one. From everybody, you're the best. That's one narration. The other narration, which is in Sahih Muslim, which is the more commonly mentioned one, is Iblis places his throne in the middle of the ocean. We don't know where it is, whether it's Bermuda Triangle or not, Allah knows best. But in the middle of the ocean, the hadith says, Iblis places his throne in the middle of the ocean and he sends out his army. And in the evening, when everybody comes back, each one reports to Iblis. And they say things, we did this, we did this, we made somebody swear, we made somebody lie, we made somebody cheat, we made somebody commit zina. And he says, okay. Everyone's fine. There's one small shaitan in the corner, and he's not saying anything. And Iblis says, come on, give your report. What did you do? And he says, I split a husband and a wife up, or I caused an argument so much so that it's caused a split between them. Iblis stands up, and he embraces this particular one. And he says, you are the one. This is the real task. So again, something for us to think about. When we are going through something like this, whether it be an argument with your spouse, whether it be an argument with somebody else, just bringing to fore that shaitan is really buzzing right now, I think that really helps. Because that allows you to kind of think, you know what? I don't want to let shaitan win. Yes, I have my ego. I have my opinion. I have what I want. Why am I letting shaitan come between us? And understanding that at that point really, really helps. Many a times we can't give in to an argument because of our ego. We're all like that. We all do that. Something we don't want to give in. But why are we giving credit to the shaitan? Whoever you're arguing with, they're not worse than the shaitan. So this really helps. And to know that either you let him become happy, or it's either shaitan or Rahman. Either one of the two. Now, we're coming towards the end. I'm going to share with you those seven things, and then we're going to end, inshallah, for today. Before we do that, there's one thing. He can see you, we can't see him. Quran speaks about this. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ He sees you from where you don't see him. So this is something we know. From the moment we're born, he can see you, we can't see him. But we can see his actions. This is the idea of, by the end of this series, inshallah, you're going to be able to see his, you can't see him, you can see his tricks. You can see and understand his whispers. You can see his schemes, how he plots. You can see the arrows on the nets. And if you can see them, you know shaitan is lurking around and you know exactly what to do. Now, the more a person sins, the harder it is to recognize the plots of shaitan. That's why we need lots of istighfar. Lots of istighfar. Turning to Allah, asking Allah for forgiveness. Because the more we commit sins, it'll become harder for us to notice his plan. So this Ramadan is an ideal opportunity for you and me to make tawbah. We make tawbah, we make istighfar. And today, inshallah, I'm going to speak to you now about, and we're going to end with this, shaitan's playbook. We're going to open his playbook and we're going to literally see his scheme. I'm going to share with you one of his very powerful schemes and how you can be empowered today, inshallah. Take away this knowledge with you so that the next time he attacks you, you can overcome him. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, and I want you guys to note this down because this is powerful stuff. Imam Ghazali says, whenever you try to do a good deed, shaitan will try and stop you in seven different ways. You need to know how to reply to him. When shaitan says something, when he whispers something to you, you need to know how to reply to him. And we're going to learn that now. So whenever you try to do any good deed, shaitan is going to stop you in seven different ways. And you need to know how to reply to him. Are we ready? We're going to do this seven. We're going to be done for today, inshallah. And this is a valuable information you're going to take with you. You're going to arm yourself, right? These are your weapons. Number one, when it's time to do a good deed, regardless what it is, the first thing shaitan's going to tell you is, you don't need to do it. Number one. Have you ever heard that before? Have you heard it before? Yes or no? Yeah? You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. You don't have to do it. It could be around praying 2 rakat sunnah. Could be about an optional charity. It could be about reading Quran. It could be about doing dhikr. It could be about helping somebody. It could be about nafal salah. Happens more with these kind of things. You don't need to do it. This is the first thing shaitan tries. And a lot of us are failing here on the first hurdle. He says, you don't need to do it. Now you need to have a robust answer when shaitan whispers this. You need to whisper something back. And I'm going to teach you what to whisper back. Because that's where the power comes from. Knowing the words. So, you know these words. You don't need to do it. What's the reply? Note this reply down. I don't know which deed will get me into Jannah. That's all you need. I don't know which deed will get me into Jannah. This is what you're going to reply. Can you already see how powerful that is? Next time shaitan says to you, you don't need to pray those 2 rakat. You say it loudly if you have to. I don't know which deed is going to get me into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. You're going to be done in 2 minutes. Anyway. And those 2 rakat could be your entry into Jannah. There you go. So number one, it's powerful. Number two, if you get over this hurdle of you don't need to do it, and you kind of come round to it and you think, right, you know what, I'm going to do it. What's the next thing shaitan's going to say to you? Yes, you don't have to do it. Just do it later. This is the second whisper of shaitan. Have you guys heard that before? Or is it new to you? How often does that happen? Just do it later. Do it afterwards. Still 2 hours left. 1 hour left. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it next week. You've got the link. You know how to do it. You've got time. You know where the musalla is. You've still got wudu. You can do it afterwards. So this is number two. Just do it later. What's your reply going to be to that? Your reply to that is very simple. I've not been promised later. Simple. I've not been promised later. Powerful. Very powerful. Is that true? We don't know. I don't know if I'm going to live till tomorrow. So that's not even like, just do it later. That's not valid. Because I'm not promised later. So that was number two. Are we ready for number three? Okay. So you've got past the first hurdle of, you don't need to do it. You realize, no, I need this to get to Jannah because I don't know which deed. Then you've got over the idea of doing it now, right? He's saying do it. And you've said, no. I don't know if I'm promised tomorrow or next week. I'm going to do it now. So you decide to do it now. What's shaitan going to say to you now? Anyone? Yeah, exactly. So you see, we've been playing with shaitan, you see. So that's why we know. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. Shaitan has been fighting us every single day. That's why we know this stuff. Shaitan says to you, number three, do it quick. Do it quick. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah? Do it quickly. Do it quickly. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Do it quickly. So, what are you going to answer with that? The answer to that is, you're going to give this answer, a small action done right is better than a big action done wrong. Allah's not looking for loads and loads and loads and loads and big actions. You don't have to do really long qiyam and really long and give loads. No. I'd rather do something small, but I'll do it properly. Keep it my time, even if it's less. Most of the time, why we do it rush? Because there's so much to do. We want to try and do 10 rakat or 20 rakat. I'm not talking about tarawih, I'm talking about general, nafal. Tarawih is different. Or we're trying to cover so much. Right? We're trying to read so much Quran. And then we're trying to rush through it. You'd rather do little, better, So you don't need to rush it then. Okay. Now you've managed to overcome the idea that I do need to do this because you don't know which deed's going to get you into Jannah. You've decided to do it now and not later. You've decided to do it slowly. So now you're in Salah. Allahu Akbar. And you're standing there. What's the next thing? Almost. Well, if I start doing a long salah, what's going to happen? Okay, not necessarily related to me, of other people. Most people pray a short salah or don't read Quran that much. If I'm going to be doing a long one, what's going to happen? No? Yes. So, Shaitan says to you now, look at everyone watching you. This is the next attack of Shaitan. Look at everyone watching you. Look at everyone watching. Because when you've decided to slow down, you've said a small action done well is better than a big action done not well. So now you want to try and do your good deeds in quality. You're reading Quran, you're dedicated. You're doing dhikr, you're doing a little bit, but you're doing it properly. Now that stands out. When you do something better, quality stands out, right? You're doing salah, you're doing two rakat, but you're doing it nicely. You're not rushing it. So that's going to stand out. So what happens now? Shaitan says to you, number four, look at everyone watching. So he wants to make you feel either to stop doing it because this, remember, showing off is done in two ways. Either you do the action to show people, or you don't do the action because people are watching. Shaitan comes in you in both ways. One way of shaitan, which is common that we're aware of, is you're, for example, reading salah, and someone walks in, and he plays with your head, thinking, oh, this guy's going to think I'm a really good person because I'm praying salah. That's one thing. But imagine you pray salah every day, and you walk into a place, and a couple of guys are sitting there. You walk in, you're about to pray, and think, hang on, I'm not going to pray because these guys might think I'm, like, trying to show off, or... So not praying because of someone is also showing off. The idea is someone shouldn't be part of it. When you pray for Allah. When you leave something, you leave for Allah, not because of other people. Sometimes you might be accustomed to doing some sort of dhikr, for example. You might see some people and you might think, oh, let me put it away because... But people shouldn't come into it. So anyhow, let's not get sidetracked. So number four is, look at everyone watching. How are you going to respond to that? The way you're going to respond to Shaitan's whisper when he says, look at everyone watching, you're going to say to him, why do I care? Allah's watching. Why do I care? Allah's watching. So what if people look like, that's got nothing to do with me. Someone watching, someone not watching. Is Allah watching me? That's all I care about. And this is how we're going to respond to the Shaitan. How many have we done? Four. And I'm hoping you're taking a note of these because this is necessary knowledge every one of us need. You cannot get along with life carrying out righteous deeds and being a righteous person without knowing how to fight the shaitan, because he fights you every single day, every single time you try to do a good deed. Now, if you manage to do the deed, you feel you need to do the deed, you manage to do it now, you manage to do it well, you manage to tell shaitan to get lost, I don't care if anybody's watching, Allah's watching me. The next thing he's going to say, now imagine you've done it. What does he tell you now? You actually succeeded in overcoming four of his greatest hurdles. What's he going to tell you now? Yes. He's going to make you feel proud. He's going to say, you're awesome. You're amazing. That's what he's going to tell you. You're awesome. You're amazing. When Shaitan tells you, you are awesome, you're amazing. Don't we hear that sometimes? We do something and we feel a bit good about ourselves, right? At that time, you're going to respond by saying, Al-minnatu min Allah, meaning the gift is from Allah. This was a gift from Allah, not me, I didn't do it. This was a gift from Allah. You know when you do these things, immediately you'll feel the clutches of Shaitan coming off you. These are very powerful tools. So how many have we done?
5. Number 6. You've managed to do the good deed, even though Shaitan told you don't need it. You said, no, I don't know which deed's going to get me into Jannah. You managed to do it now. You managed to do it slowly and with quality. You didn't care who was watching. And you said, this is from Allah. Number 6 is, Shaitan now tells you, people might hear about this in the future. Like, no one found out now. But people might hear about this in the future. So he tries to mess your head up there. Oh yeah, like, I've done a good deed now. I managed to do it with sincerity. But if for example, someone finds out about it later on, right? And then they think good of me, that can corrupt you as well. So what do you respond? Similar to the response before. What is it? No, the one before that. I don't care. Allah knows, Allah's watching. Again, same kind of response because they are very similar things. The first one was about someone, people watching right now, and that is about later on. Because you can do a good deed and it's preserved and then spoil it sometimes 10 years later. And sometimes people say, in my 14th Hajj, I managed to kiss the black stone. The one I did in 1953, right? At that time, you did it so well, everything was preserved, and then 50 years later, you're making reference to it. It depends. Look, not everybody's the same. Not everybody's condition of the heart is the same. Sometimes someone might narrate a story, and they're able to keep their intentions pure, right? We can't judge anybody, but nobody's safe from shaitan. So that's why we have to learn to protect ourselves. So you could do a good deed today, preserve it, and then in future, you might think, oh, if people find out about this, after I die, they're going to write my biography, and I'm going to be known as, you know, X, Y, and Z, or whatever. It's all gone. You're losing your reward there. Shaitan has got to you, because he's got to you. You managed to succeed now, but he's got to you for the future. So whenever those thoughts come in, again, we need this, because we don't want to die in this state. So we need this. We're saying, I don't care who's watching or who finds out. It's nothing. It's not about people. Is Allah watching? Does Allah know? Very important. And last one, number 7. If you manage to get here, right, which is alhamdulillah awesome, right? He told you you don't need it, you still did it. He said don't do it now, you still did it now. He said to you do it quickly, you did it slowly. He said look, everyone's watching, you said I don't care. And then he said to you you're amazing, you said I'm not amazing, Allah's amazing. And then he said people might find out about it afterwards. I don't care, Allah knows about it and that's what matters. Then he's going to say to you, you don't need it anymore. Back to where we started. You don't need it anymore. There, he said, because you've done it now. You've been constantly doing a good deed. Now you've done it. So he's going to make you feel, I've already got a good stash of good deeds. You don't need it anymore. How are you going to respond to that one? Okay, yes, you could, but the two slightly different things. That one was, you don't need to do it now. You don't need to do it at all. You've got a number of deeds. Yes, you could get more because you don't know which deed's going to get you into Jannah. But specifically, this has got a different understanding altogether. When he's saying to you, you don't need it anymore, your response is going to be very simple. I am a servant of Allah and my job is to serve him, whether I need it or not. It's not about what I need or I don't. I'm a servant. My job in this world is I am a servant of Allah. My job is service to Allah. Until I die, my job is to serve him. So I have to carry on doing every possible good deed. Whether I need it or not, it's not about what I need, what I don't need now. It's about I'm a servant. And a servant's job is to serve Allah. So these are 7 ways. And by the way, this is just the first page of Shaitan's playbook. Can you see how powerful it is? So you've got another 13 days of this, inshallah, where we're going to go through different things to understand how to overcome the shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's make a special dua for the people of Palestine, Gaza, Masjid al-Aqsa, the people who are suffering them.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا وآتهم فتحا قريبا. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم أيدهم بجبريل، اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا وسندا وظهيرا. اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة، اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا وآتهم فتحا قريبا. والله shower them with your mercy. يا أرحم الراحمين. O Rahim, in this blessed month of Ramadan, you are Kareem, you are Fattah, you are Aleem. Shower them with your mercy. This is the month of mercy, O Allah. They're in need of your mercy, O Allah. Shower them with your mercy. Count the dead amongst the shuhada, O Allah. Grant afiyah and shifa to those who are wounded, O Allah. O Allah, unite those who have been displaced, O Allah. Grant them food to eat, O Allah. Grant them water to drink, O Allah. You make them independent, O Allah. Return their dignity to them, O Allah. Grant them steadfastness, O Allah. Increase them in their iman and the Islam, O Allah. Reward them, O Allah. Help and protect them, O Allah. Take care of their needs, O Allah. Shower them with your mercy, O Allah. Protect the sanctity of Haramain Sharifain, O Allah. Protect everybody who has reached the Haramain, O Allah. Accept their du'as. Grant us a share in their du'as, O Allah. Grant us the chance to be there as well, O Allah. O Allah, accept each and every person who made an effort to go and pray at Masjid al-Aqsa today, O Allah. Despite the restrictions, despite the attacks, O Allah, many people made an effort, O Allah. Reward them on behalf of the entire Ummah, O Allah. Allow them to continue resisting the occupation, O Allah. Grant liberation to Masjid al-Aqsa, O Allah. Free it from being desecrated, O Allah. Return His glory to it once again, O Allah. Allow Muslims throughout the world to pray there, to frequent it, O Allah. Give us all the tawfiq to serve the cause of Baytul Maqdis, O Allah. Utilize us and do not replace us, O Allah. Allow us to understand the tricks of our enemy, the shaitan, and allow us to protect ourselves, O Allah, and overpower him, O Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.